come. They were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues like fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound a crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they said, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying, "What does this mean?" The others sneered and said, "Oh, they are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above, signs on the earth below. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for your presence here in this place. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today I want to do something just a little bit different to help us hear this story that we hear every year on Pentecost, but to hear it just a little bit differently. I'm going to reread the first few verses. And I'm going to ask you to answer a question as I read it. This first time that I read through it, I want you to just listen for one word or phrase that stands out to you, okay? Just one word or phrase. And I encourage you to just close your eyes and listen. You don't have to read it, just listen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Does anyone want to share their word or phrase that stood out to you as you heard those verses again? Just one word.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's your phrase. What else? A word or phrase? Yes, Dorothy.
Rushing of the wind.
Rushing of the wind. What else?
Tongues of fire.
Tongues of fire.
I just heard tongue.
Tongues. This time I'm going to read it again, and I want you to see what image comes into your mind. So close your eyes and just hear this again. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. What image came into your mind? Just an image or a picture. What is it of? Yes.
The calm before the wind.
The calm before the wind? What other pictures? Yes, Sharon.
I hate to say a volcano.
You thought of a volcano. What else? Yes, Sarah.
I saw like a campfire, and you know, like how like when you have a campfire, like the wind goes over it and it's a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Dorothy.
I would think there would be chaos, and I'm like very confused.
Chaos. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay, when I read it this third time, I want you to think about this. What is God saying to me in this passage? Close your eyes and listen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. What is God saying to you in this story? Anyone want to share what God was saying to you? Judy. Yes.
In them, or around them, but on them.
Yes. So you feel God telling you that the Holy Spirit is resting on you. Yeah. What else? Anybody else? Yes, Laura.
The Holy Spirit gaining ability and understanding.
Mm-hmm. The ability and understanding came from the Holy Spirit. What we have just done is actually a very ancient way of studying and listening to the Bible called Lectio Divina. And it's something that you can do at home with any story in the Bible, but you do read it out loud to yourself three times, asking yourself those three questions, that word or phrase, that image, and then what is God saying to me? Because we believe that every part of the Bible is speaking to us, right? That's how powerful God's word is. And it's especially powerful to do this with stories that you've heard a million times. So I encourage you to do this at home. I think it's so great for us to do this as we celebrate Pentecost because we are supposed to find ourselves in the Bible. We're supposed to find ourselves in every story in the Bible and ask ourselves, what does this mean for me today? What does this mean as a person? What does this mean for us as a church? And where are we in the story? Maybe if you imagined yourself gathered in that room, what does it feel like to be preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or what if you saw yourself outside the room? What does it sound like? How do you experience hearing other people speak about God's power? Because this is a story about the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, can you even imagine, like Dorothy said, the chaos, the wildness of wind and fire coming into this room and everyone starts preaching in different languages? Of course, some people thought they were drunk. It's easy for us to hear these Bible stories and just think, well, that was then, this is now. Where is that Holy Spirit in my life today? Well, where is the Holy Spirit in your life today? Just like I asked the kids, where have you seen the Holy Spirit at work in your life this week, this month, this year, or maybe even this morning? I was thinking about that as I was writing this sermon, and I thought, wow, you know what? Holy Spirit has been having coffee with me on the front porch. Holy Spirit has been my companion as I sit there with my big cup of coffee and pray and read and write. And the Holy Spirit has been reminding me of God's promises. What about you? Where have you seen and experienced the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the Spirit through a friend, a family member, a total stranger, maybe even at work or at school? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit in just one ordinary moment? I want you to think about that for a minute. Just one glimpse that you've had of the Holy Spirit And I want you to take a minute and turn to one neighbor near you and just tell them. Tell them when you saw God, when you saw Holy Spirit. Okay, now. It can be simple. Think of what the kids see all the time. What we're sharing right now are God sightings. That's what we call it at VBS. We call it a God sighting, but basically it's just you see God, you see the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is also a story about how the Holy Spirit is our power. They saw that wind and fire, and they were able to preach, and it created the church, which is why we call it the birthday of the church. But Pentecost is about a new chapter. This is after Jesus has died and resurrected. He's ascended. And now there's this new chapter of the church. And it's God's power expanding to include people beyond just those first followers, beyond just the Jews. And wind and fire, when you think about it, are things that can easily get out of control, right? Right, Ed? Yeah. That's exactly right. This is no coincidence that the Bible uses wind and fire to talk about the Spirit. It's the same Spirit as in the Old Testament. That cloud by day and pillar of fire by night that guided the people. It was how Moses was called in a burning bush. Wind and fire, they're these elemental powers of the universe, and our life actually depends upon having them. Just like our lives depend upon having the Holy Spirit in us. Do you realize that? The Holy Spirit is like our power source to do anything in faith. It's like the wall outlet. We have to plug into its power, and when we do, watch out. One thing I heard when I was studying this myself on my porch, Lectio Divina style, reading it out loud, was the word all. And then the phrase, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. They all had God's power. They all heard God's deeds of power in their own language. This story to me is about all of God's people receiving all of God's power and all of God's good news. It's like this circle that's just getting wider and wider and wider. They're all hearing about God. I was reading this week in the Presbyterian Outlook magazine, and editor Jill Duffield wrote a great story about the wider love at Pentecost. She was talking about this revolutionary side of the Holy Spirit and this story, because in this story, barriers are broken down. God's love is not just for a select few people, it's for all. And the church doesn't just become multicultural, the church becomes multilingual. She was asking, where is that revolution of Pentecost today? And have we shut out that Spirit? Have we run away from that Spirit and that power and that message? Because a Spirit-filled life and a Spirit-filled church is challenging. If we're going to widen God's love and the message of God's grace to literally everyone, that takes patience, effort. It means we don't all get what we want in church or in worship, because we have to start thinking about the people that are not here yet and about the people that are just out there in our community, in our world. How do we help them know God's love? It means we use some new ways, some new methods, some new vocabulary. It means we think about things like, do people visiting our church know the language of our worship? Are they comfortable being here with what we're doing? Or are we excluding people? Are we putting up barriers? Duffield says most people just hear this Pentecost story, say, "Happy birthday, church," and then go back to sitting in their favorite pew, which is not really what God is calling us to do in the story. The people of that time were not much different from us. Different cultures didn't hang out together. They didn't speak each other's languages. People were suspicious and wary, just like we are today. And there were these huge barriers that divided the people. They were more divided than they were united. Duffield writes, Pentecost is revolutionary because it's turning upside down and inside out every category, divide, and barrier to God's one family. Distinct languages remain, but now we can speak to one another and understand, and nothing separates us from the love of God or one another. And yet, she says, here we are in 2018, divided. The income gap grows, schools have resegregated, most neighborhoods are homogenous, and so are most churches. What happened to Pentecost? She went on to talk about a lecture about pastors sometimes being priests of segregation who have settled for the love of their own people rather than using that love to help create a new people. She says that's all too often us. We just settle for church the way we want it. We love it. The people that are already here. But what if we started thinking outside? What if we started thinking about learning other languages, other ways of communicating, leaning on the Holy Spirit to bring in new people? That's not easy, is it? It's way easier to be divided and separated. It's way easier to just hang out with the people we already know and love. But Pentecost is about a wider love, not just for us in here, but for everyone out there. How will we show that love? How will we try to let all people know the love of God and that power of the Spirit? This is important as we come to celebrate Pentecost. When we ask ourselves, what is God saying to me in this story? Another good question to ask yourself is, what is God asking me to do after hearing this story? We do some of this already. Sarah sees it every single day of the week at the Youth Cafe. We're about to expand our circle at VBS to kids that some we know and some we don't. And in worship, we continue to expand it by inviting people. When was the last time we invited people to come join us? But it also happens when we do mission and service way outside these doors. When we engage in the community, where else can we follow this call and depend upon the Spirit to help us? Friends, hear the good news of the gospel on this Pentecost. The very same Holy Spirit that came in wind and fire that day is the Spirit in us. And our calling is just the same, to share God's good news to all people. May we hear that call and respond. And to that, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Friends, please stand and let us use the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. It's from the Presbyterian Brief Statement of Faith.